Thank you. It's good to be back. It is good to be here and see people that I recognize, and it's good to see people I do not recognize. How wonderful that is. As I was sitting here, I looked in the hymnal to see if I knew the person who dedicated the hymnal, and it's Grace Kitzmiller, and I have fond memories of her and her home not too far away from here, and it's just things like that. I have been here several times over the past 10 years, and every time I'll open up the hymnal to see if I know the person that dedicated the hymnal and how nice that is. Let me tell you a bit about my family. Well, first, let's talk about me, okay? I continue to be at Dublin Community Church, United Church of Christ, and a couple years ago, we celebrated our 200th, and so I am delighted that you invited me back to be with Pastor Ruth and all of you. It's good to be back here. Indeed, it is. Wife Marty is retired officially from Lancaster City Schools. And a couple years ago, she says, when I retire, she says, I want to go with my sister and another close friend up to this lake, up to Lake Michigan, to a cottage that they would always rent with their mother. Marty's mother passed away about 7 years ago. And she says, can I do that? I said, well, I'm not going to stop you. Go for a month. So she is up there for a month. And we did say to her, you realize there may be some snow trying to get home. They're up near Traverse City. Yes, indeed, we still go to the lake called Big Bass Lake in Michigan. I continue to kayak, and I thank you for my kayak on that. And we're there every summer for several weeks. Hopefully in a few years, might get more than a few weeks in. Daughter Laura and son-in-law Josh live here in town. Laura still works for Fairfield National Bank, and Josh is still full-time with the Ohio National Guard. And you have seen her walking around here with granddaughter Hazel. Hazel is 7 months old. And for those of you who are my age, who would have thought that we would be reclaiming the name of Hazel, and how wonderful that is. Over the past 35 years, I have yet to baptize a Robert, and I'm baptizing names like Clyde and Chloe and Ruth. Ruth has been reclaimed, my grandmother's name. But they've yet to reclaim Robert, and I was mentioning that to Laura and Michaela, and one of them says, Dad, Robert's an old name. And I said, thank you very much. Michaela is in town. She is a clinical counselor and is employed by the county and works for the county court system. If there are youth that need to be examined or dealings with the court. So all are nearby, and we continue to live out in the Canal to Winchester area. But as I said, it's good to be back. You talk with any pastor, and they will tell you things that have marked their ministry, their profession, their lives, things that they hold on to, signature moments. I'm sure if you talk with Pastor Mindy, you talk with Jeff, and by the way, Jeff's an old friend, and I'm delighted to be here with you also. I should mention this. Jeff was the associate pastor at the church I serve 25 years ago, right? Yeah, okay, 20 years ago, and my predecessor, the late Chuck Cook, was your senior minister when you were the associate. And Chuck said to me more than once, of all the associates he had, you were the best. So, and we had some good associates up there. So we send greetings to you. Many people in town, in Dublin at the church, recall you, and it's always good to see you. We're delighted that you're down here. This is a team ministry, I understand. So a signature moment. Let me tell you a story about a travel that I did and then a story about here. And because the signature moment here is something that informs my ministry still to this day. But first, the story of traveling. Laura and I, 10 or 12 years ago, went to India and Sri Lanka. And we were in Sri Lanka, which is the tiny teardrop island off of India. And we were in the northern part where it was mainly Hindu. We were there with a longtime missionary, a woman from Arizona. So there was Laura and I, and we were staying with this woman. And we went from the mission school, we went into town, and then afterwards she says, let's go to this Hindu temple. So we go to this temple, and the temple probably was not much bigger than this particular room here. And I'd been to many Hindu temples before and after with all of our travels. And so the three of us go in, and the faithful, the Hindu faithful, were worshiping, and they would go over to this section over here. And then a curtain would come back, and a priest would do some things, and then the curtain would close, and then the priest would move to another curtain, and the people would go there. And we stayed back, Laura and I and the woman from Arizona, we stayed back a respectful distance. We knew we were welcome, but we also knew that we were not a part of the congregation, and it was, we thought it's pretty clear to the priest, we're just visiting. He goes to that spot down there, the curtain opens, the faithful, about a dozen people came up near him, he's doing some things, and then he starts scooping something out of a bowl, and he's putting it in people's hands. From where I was standing, it looked like raw meat, like raw hamburger. And I thought, I don't know what it is, but I'm not Hindu, and this doesn't involve me, fine. And the people took it, and they were eating it. And I thought, okay, fine. So finally, he's doing that, and then he motions to us. Come towards us. And I'm looking, hoping there's people behind me who's motioning too. Now, it was pretty clear I was not Sri Lankan. It was pretty clear that I was not Hindu, nor Laura, nor the woman from Arizona. But we were invited forward, and I thought, okay, I'll take one for the team here. If he gives me something, I'll eat it. I'm not sure what. And he scooped it into our hands. He gave us a blessing, scooped it into our hands, and I was delighted to see it was like a dry corn or wheat meal. And it tasted, it was spiced, and it was good. He knew we were not Hindu. He knew we were not a part of his faith congregation. And yet, he welcomed us. Now, let me tell you a story about here. And this particular story stays with me and informs pretty much all that I do. This was about a dozen years ago, and Men's Brotherhood was meeting downstairs, and I was here early, and Mark Brown, I'm going to put you on the spot, because I think you were here in on this story. Now just listen, see if you can recall. And we're in the office doing something, the meal's being prepared downstairs, there's a bunch of cars outside, a gentleman comes in, and he says, I need to talk with the pastor, I need to talk with the pastor. I said, well, I'm the pastor. And he says, I really need to sit down and talk and pray. And I said, oh, well, okay. And Mark was standing right there. And I remember saying, Mark, you want to come with us? As I said, is it okay if Mark joins us? Oh, sure, said the gentleman. We sat in the parlor. We talked about his life. He was struggling with job and with marriage, many things. And then he kind of talked, and he says, I just drove by. I saw a lot of cars. I needed to talk. So glad you were here. Can you offer a prayer? I said, of course. I offered a prayer. The three of us sat there, and I said to the gentleman, because he wasn't leaving real quick, and I thought, he probably needs to be around people a bit more. I said, hey, we've got a meal coming up in just 30 minutes. And it's our Men's Brotherhood. And we're going to have a fine meal downstairs, and there'll be 30 or 40 men, and then we're going to have a program. He says, you know, I would like that. That sounds really good. I told him what we were having for the meal. I kind of hope it was ham loaf. That was always my favorite, if some of you recall that. But I said, we have a good meal. I explained that. I said, we also have a program. He said, oh, what's the program? I said, well, you know, we're going to have a Muslim woman come and talk with us. And he says, oh, has she converted to Christianity? I said, no, she's just coming to talk with us. Oh, are you converting her to Christianity? I said, no, she's just going to come talk with us about the immigrant experience. He goes, no, I don't want to have a meal with you guys. And he left. And I remember kind of looking at Mark, and we just kind of shrugged and thought, well, you know, he loses. So we went downstairs, and this Muslim woman who had been working at the pharmacy at Kroger, and I had met her because I had bought some anti-malarial pills, and she says, that's unusual. Not many people in Lancaster buy anti-malarial pills. And I told her why, that I was traveling to India, and she said, well, when you come back, tell me how it went. I believe she was from Lebanon, somewhere from the Middle East. But we went downstairs with her. She spoke. She was raising her kids. Her husband was in the area too. And the kids were going to the schools out in Sugar Grove and out there. Now here's, after a long story I've told you, here's what I remember. The men of this church and the other men of the Brotherhood welcomed in this woman as a fellow American who was just getting used to this country, who was simply trying to make her way, she and her husband, with jobs and then paying taxes like any citizen and sending their kids to school. And the men that evening asked questions about what it was like to immigrate and what it was like to leave where they lived before and what it was like to practice Islam in an area that's mainly Christian. The questions that our men asked were gracious and caring and intelligent and said very, very clearly, all are welcome in this country. All are welcome in this church. And I have never forgotten that. That stays with me all the time because the way you conduct yourselves with the simplest of situations is the way a particular church shows itself to the community. The church I serve, like this church, allows for non-member weddings. There's a few things that you have to do if you want to be married at our church. In Dublin, you have to pay certain fees if you're a non-member. And you have to have either I or Pastor Lisa, who's our associate, do the officiating. And we'll have maybe 10 or 12 non-member weddings a year. We might have double that amount who ask us, but they don't want to pay the fees or something else works out. But I always ask the couples, why did they choose us? And one young woman said to me, Pastor, you were the only church that would accept us. Now, that was said to me at the church in Dublin, but the same can be said here. This church always made it very clear. All are welcome to be married here, to share in the fellowship. And I was talking with my personnel committee a few weeks ago, and I said this to them. I said, we offer marriage to all, just as I did in the previous church, this one, because when you open the doors to others, when you share the fellowship, even if they're not going to be a member and join and pay, when you do that, I believe that the very walls of the church absorb the energy that you give out. And as the years go on, those walls send the energy right back to those who come. So I learned that lesson down here. This is the way you conduct yourselves. This is the way I try to conduct my ministries. Let me see. I had a few other things I wanted to mention here. Oh, I found a picture. Mindy, I didn't bring it. I found a picture 2 weeks ago of your 175th anniversary. I told you that. And you said, good, bring the picture. Yeah, it's on my desk. You're all invited up to Dublin. Take a look at it. I'll send it to you, Mindy. Myself, Jack Kingsbury, Jim Cunningham, son of the church. Was he here recently? Good. And Alan McClarty, who was the association minister at the time. Alan is now retired out in California, and I still have the same amount of gray hair. But several people said, you haven't changed at all, and I kind of joked with them, which begs the question, did I really look like I was 65 when I came here 30 years ago? I recall Chicken Noodle Week, which is coming up, I see. And always the week or so before, Clara Ruth would come into my office, and then after she passed it, I think Phyllis Claypool would come into my office and say to me, Bob, how many tickets did you oversell? And I would say, now, I had about 100 tickets that I sold because some of them were people who had moved or passed on, and I just grabbed their list and would sell them out to people. But people in the community were always wanting tickets, and I didn't have any more. So after a couple of years, I would just resell the tickets. I'd give the money, of course, here. And while I think those who were running the Chicken Noodle were glad to have extra people coming, they were a little, I don't think they were fed up. Well, maybe they were fed up with me doing that. But I would sell, instead of 100, I'd sell 130 of them. And then CR or Phyllis and everyone else would make adjustments for that. And how fun it was to be a part of Chicken Noodle. I still recall watching how the chicken was carefully pulled apart by hand, how the coleslaw was carefully kneaded by hand, the only a certain number of purple what go into it. Yeah, cabbage, thank you very much. Okay. Just the whole process and how much fun it was to make noodles. And you saw daughter Laura up here. Well, when daughter Laura was about 6 years old, she was making noodles along with Michaela at 3. By the way, did I forget to mention, as I got weaving back and forth about daughters and all, granddaughter Hazel. Yeah, I did mention her, didn't I? Please catch her someplace here. She's around, and what a joy that has been. A final story or two. I recall being at the county fair all the time, Gary Culp. Gary, didn't you at one time used to do grading of the band contests? Or no, you would do the play-by-play on the radio, right? That was fun to do. And they would invite the head of the ministerium to come and pray. And the one year, the head couldn't do it, and I was number two, so I prayed. And then the next year I was the head, I prayed again. The next year, they just kept asking me because it was easy to get in touch with me. And we get to stand in the one area, like if there was a horse race, the man would call the race. We're standing there facing the grandstands, and there's always a newscaster from the Columbus station and the head of the fair. The head of the fair would start off and welcome everyone, and he'd say, welcome, welcome, and everyone would cheer. And then he or she would introduce the television personality from Columbus, and that person would talk about the Fairfield County Fair, and everybody would cheer, and then they would say, now here's the preacher, he's going to offer the prayer, and I would offer the prayer, and when I was done, they would cheer me also. But I love that. And I recommend, give that a try for Pastor Mindy. Give her a cheer when she's done with a prayer, okay? See what she thinks on that. You are fortunate to have one of the finest ministers in the Ohio Conference, in Pastor Mindy. I know so because I am on the board of directors of the Ohio Conference United Church of Christ. Now, I will assure you, board of directors sounds much more important than it sounds much more important than it really is. But it is a lot of work. And we only choose the best to lead us. So the fact that your church pastor is the head of the Ohio Conference is, it's a feather in your cap. But that's also because Mindy is such a fine pastor. I know just recently she went to Germany, and how good that was that you were able to support her, send her there so that she could bring greetings. And that was really important because her father had a very important part in the German church and the Ohio church coming together. And over the past 25 years on that particular part of church ministry. I was there in the spring, and there's a part that I do with this, but I was there in the spring with the German pastors, and I was talking with them, and I said, in the fall, Pastor Mindy is coming. Well, they didn't know her, but they knew her by reputation, and they knew her by family connection. And so I've heard reports of when she was able to talk with them and share the word from the Ohio Conference and hear from Grace Church in Lancaster, Ohio. How wonderful it is that this church has such a fine pastor. And also, to a certain extent, you get a little bit of two-for-one here with Pastor Jeff being a part of this also. A final thought. A few years ago, I was in Canterbury, England, and I went to see... Well, I wanted to go down to Canterbury because that's where the Anglican Church is based. And when you go there, you will find that at one time, they had a shrine there. And the shrine was Thomas à Becket, who got in a scuffle with Henry II. Henry II had him done in. And he was declared a saint by the Roman Catholic Church and the Anglican Church later. But he was declared a saint, and so his bones were there for 200 or 300 or 400 years. And that is why the pilgrims would go to Canterbury in order to see the bones of St. Thomas à Becket. And as the casket would sit in one area of the cathedral, the faithful would kneel down. And where they knelt, even though the bones are long gone, thanks to Henry VIII, where the faithful knelt for hundreds of years, there is a trough from them kneeling down. And you have to say to yourself how faithful they were, how many there were, how many years they came and prayed and shared their lives at Canterbury in order to make this trough on the floor. I walk in here in the morning, and I look and I see this ark, this upside-down Bible, it's been described. I see the trees over here, and I see the pathway, which winds its way down, and was designed about 20 years ago. I know my late father's name is there, and I believe my late mother-in-law, brothers-in-laws, I believe my name is on there. And last I checked, I'm still kicking, though. This church, 200 years old, has a presence on this particular corner of Lancaster. It has sculpted the land. It has made it its own. And while it has only been here since the early 70s, the church itself has been around for 200. I imagine it's going to be around for a lot longer. Let me ask this of you. Do me a favor. Make a note of this. I'm 65. I expect to be around for your 225th. Somebody please invite me. I will be here. I'll be 90. That should be okay. And I assure you, when I come, I will continue to sing your praises. and I will continue to have plenty of gray hair. Peace be with you all. Amen.